talk LA Kings with the LA Kings insider, John Rosen, joins us once again. Johnny, how are you?
Very good, guys. Glad to be joining you again.
John, I'm looking down the Kings lineup and pretty much seeing no changes, really no reason to change. Well, outside of Willie Mitchell on the back end, but they haven't, just like in 2012 after winning the Cup, they really haven't made any changes.
No, this team is virtually intact, and really that goes in line with just the entire offseason. There really wasn't much noise, other than the popping of bottles around town to accompany this team this past offseason. Two players have moved on, Mitchell and Colin Fraser. But looking at this team, only one new face, really. That's going to be Adam Cracknell, who is competing for a spot on the fourth line. Tonight he's going to be skating in Los Angeles as part of a split squad team. And the other half of the team is in Glendale, Arizona. But he's somebody to keep an eye on. He's somebody that would probably be competing for a spot, you think, maybe with guys like some veterans, such as Jordan Nolan, who was now in fourth season of the National Hockey League. Kyle Clifford, now in his fifth season, also somebody there for competing for a spot. Also on defense, there's Braden McNabb, who the Kings acquired back at the 2014 NHL trading deadline, got him from the Buffalo Sabres, has done everything he's had to do back in junior hockey and in the AHL, now looking to stick. He came along from the Buffalo Sabres, and he's looking to earn a spot. Both guys, both Cracknell and Braden McNabb, would have to clear waivers, so you've got to think that that at least for McNabb, that there is a roster spot there to lose. Those are going to be some of the interesting stories that are starting to really develop today and through the rest of camp.
Well, I'm glad you brought up McNabb, because they paid a pretty high price. I mean, they traded away Fasching, a guy I really liked, a big bruising forward out of college. What would be the expectations for McNabb this season? Is he a full-time guy? Is he in and out of the lineup?
It's up to him to really determine that. At this point right now, I think you pencil him in as the seventh defenseman on this team, because the Kings will be returning 16 men. And it's up to him to see whether or not he can perhaps usurps some of Robin Regier's minutes. Regier, though he's not ever going to be a darling of anyone who pays much attention to the fancy stats or the advanced stats, is still somebody that has plenty of worth, obviously, in this room. It is still somewhat of a young Los Angeles Kings room, and they are one of the younger teams in the league still. But right now, there do appear to be some minutes available, perhaps alongside Slava Voynov. In the playoffs, because Regier was injured, we saw a lot of Willie Mitchell there. Mitchell played over 20 minutes a game. Regier was more of a 17, 18-minute type of a defenseman there. So those minutes are going to have to be inherited. Some minutes will go to Alec Martinez, who's going to see his usage increase from what it had been last year. But Braden McNabb, who has that nasty streak, has a very heavy shot. He's somebody that averaged well over half a point a game as a defenseman in the American Hockey League, and is still pretty young at 23 years old, is really seen as more of a long-term, perhaps a slot right there in that second spot. It's going to be interesting, too, because we all remember the Memorial Cup that he took part in back when he was with the Kootenai Ice. And, of course, he kind of disrupted Joey Hischon's career with the Colorado Avalanche, former first-round draft pick. Took a couple of years for Hischon to get back. McNabb and Hischon may be on the ice together for a pair of preseason games as the Kings and Colorado Avalanche play twice before the regular season starts.
John Rosen joins us talking LA Kings. John, looking at the combination, Toffoli had an out and Pearson were very good in the playoffs for the LA Kings. Two younger guys, and then Mike Richards was really a fourth line guy throughout the playoffs. Where do you see those guys slotting in this year? Is Richards going to be their fourth line center?
No, Richards will probably move up to the third line. I'm here in Glendale with the team right now, and in the practices the last several days, and today at the morning skate, Richards was centering Dwight King and Justin Williams. So that would indicate that he will be moving up just a little bit. Keep in mind, though, that Richards was still used in a variety of situations. Yep. Last year, he was still fourth on the team in ice time amongst forwards. So power play, penalty kill, he still gets plenty of opportunity. But at even strength, he's probably going to be skating with some different wingers. Last year, you saw him with Kyle Clifford and Trevor Lewis at the end of the year. So, back to probably what you're expecting from Mike Richards, who, since he's come to the Kings, has been terrific in the postseason, has been somebody that plays tough minutes, plays against the opposition's top players, but he hasn't been somebody that's been able to drive the play towards the attacking end, at least not to the degree that he did with Philadelphia But he's still somebody that has value in other ways. And certainly when you're looking at some of the stories surrounding the Kings at the start of the year, that's probably, A number one or, 1B.
No Jonathan Quick in either game tonight. You got Jones, Delorier, Berube, and Bartosak as the backups. Is it really just Martin Jones or just Delorier maybe have a chance, or even, I guess, Bartosak needs some time this season to take that backup spot away from Jones?
Yeah, you got to think that at this point, Delorier is just kind of an insurance piece in case there are any setbacks with Quick. In speaking with hockey operations, everybody is pretty much acting under the premise that Quick should be able to get into some preseason games before the season starts. Of course, he has been taking shots. He has been practicing with the team. He won't be going tonight. Here in Glendale, it'll be J.F. Berube and Patrick Bartosak, the former Red Deer Rebel. But we're going to get some more updates on Quick, but there hasn't been anything to indicate, there have been no setbacks, nothing to indicate that, he shouldn't make his return later in the preseason.
Who is going to take Willie Mitchell's ice time on the back end?
Alec Martinez will be somebody that's going to inherit some minutes. Daryl Sutter has previously referred to Martinez as somebody who is a team-minute player. He's been about 16, 17, 18 minutes throughout his career. Obviously, he had those high-profile goals, scoring in overtime to knock off both the Chicago Blackhawks and New York Rangers in the postseason. He had just under a 14% shooting percentage last year, 11 goals. So he's somebody that's probably going to come back down to earth a little bit scoring-wise. But it's going to be interesting. He's seen virtually all of his ice time at the NHL level as a third-pairing defenseman. Martinez this year likely to start out with Matt Green. They played together both in the 2012 and 2014 runs. Martinez also is versatile. He's somebody that can play both left and right side and actually looked pretty good last year when he skated with Willie Mitchell. Both are left-shooting defensemen. But you got to think he's probably going to see some of his minutes go up. He's somebody that not just offensively, but was fine in holding his own defensively and is capable of again, pushing the play towards the attacking end. But again, Robin Regier is somebody there right now, probably penciled in into that second pairing alongside Slava Voynov. And again, Braden McNabb will be fighting for those available minutes as well.
You touched on McNabb, but who are the other prospects that, we should be listening for down in L.A.?
At this point right now, these guys are still probably a year or two away. Andy Andreoff is somebody that has a shot at making the team right now. And EQ is, he's not waiver exempt. So he would have to clear waivers before going back down to the AHL. He's more of a sandpaper type guy. Somebody who has, he's listed as a left wing right now, but can't play center. The team views him as somebody that should be a fourth line checking player, but does have a ceiling to perhaps be a third line type guy. Somebody that has been one of the better fighters. I wouldn't call him necessarily a heavyweight, but, an upper middle weight back in the American Hockey League and at his time in the OHL too. He's somebody that up front should probably make this LA Kings team and should be one of the few new faces. Other than that, Valentin Zhikov, who had a 17-year-old 40-goal season in his draft year 2 years ago, he's in the QMJHL. He'll probably go back to Baie-Comeau Drakkar in that league this year as well. But again, he's still a year or two away. Other players that probably could get a chance, there was Jordan Wheel, who played for the Regina Pats a couple of years ago as well. He's somebody that has spent 2 years in the AHL and has gotten better every year. They like his work habits, his attention to detail, somebody who has been very productive, but he's only about 5'10", and is somebody that's a little bit more of a skilled player, so those opportunities would have to arise. Somebody that's also going to be very interesting to keep an eye on is Nick Shore, a former college player, University of Denver. Profiles down the line, perhaps next year, maybe even sometime this year if there's an opportunity. Third line center, keep in mind that Jarrett Stoll's contract expires after this year. Shore is somebody that wins a lot of faceoffs, very smart, heady player, somebody that can kill penalties. So that's he kind of is that LA Kings type of a player and should have a future down the line on the team.
John, in Kings, of course, win the Stanley Cup in 2012. They go to the conference finals in 2013 to lose to Chicago, and then, of course, win again last season. Is it like I don't see many weaknesses? Is this a team most people are expecting to be a Final Four team again?
Yeah, and I think you're going to start seeing some other teams kind of emulate the Kings, where they may scale back minutes of certain key players midway through the season. I'm not sure if you're going to see some other teams in the Pacific Division. I'm kind of thinking of the Anaheim Ducks right now. where they may not place as much of an emphasis on, you know, on building up such a big lead in the division and playing and riding their guys and their horses so much as they had in the past. But this Kings team, you know, really not too many holes. Like, just the questions that we kind of answered right here, there are just who's going to play in that second defensive pairing on the left side. You know, they do have plenty of options there in competition. But otherwise, this is more or less the same team. And as one of the teams that has been probably only other than the Chicago Blackhawks over the last 5 years at the Corsi and Fenwick ratings, again, pushing that play to the attacking end, possessing the puck, the Kings really do have a good job of meshing the kind of old school compete intangibles, those types of aspects with the new school kind of possession, driving play, those types of numbers as well. So really not very many weaknesses on this team right here. And given their makeup and their constitution, what they've done in the past, you know, I still see it as, LA and Chicago being the two teams to beat in the West.
John, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Jason, thank you so much.